to these fellows, to the moon. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the moon. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I am Addy.
Hey yo, that makes me Mo.
It does.
I'm so excited to be here doing the show today.
You know why?
Why?
Because the Hall of Fame tickets are booked.
Yes.
The fan access tickets are booked.
That they are.
The Raw after WrestleMania tickets have been purchased.
Yes, they have.
And WrestleMania 31 tickets have been purchased.
Yes, they have.
We have the gold travel package.
Yes.
And We Talk Wrestling is going to WrestleMania.
My package is gold.
Your package is gold. But WrestleMania is so much bigger than that.
15 carats.
Your testicles have expanded.
Yeah. Wait, no. I took care of that.
And we are going to see The Rock and Rusev.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
No.
But that was... that's it. As much as wrestling has sucked a giant cock lately, because wrestling has sucked
a giant cock
lately.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
No.
That's way too good for them.
Yeah. It has sucked a cock lately.
When The Rock returned.
Yes, he did.
Unexpectedly on Monday Night Raw.
I didn't see it coming.
To confront Rusev.
Rusev.
And Anal.
Lana.
Right. Well, she was backwards, so. What I looked at is, that's when I thought WrestleMania is going to be great. Because WrestleMania is all about the past. WrestleMania is not about today's stars.
Not about today's stars.
WrestleMania is all about who used to be good.
Yes,
who
it
used
is.
To be great. And when The Rock came on and cut that promo and the crowd went nuts and he had the crown in the palm of his hand and he should have had the crown in the palm of his hand, I thought, yes.
And nobody turned the channel to watch him.
No. I will watch WrestleMania now, and I will be...
We're going to anyways. We're going to WrestleMania,
But I will be just over-the-moon ecstatic to see WrestleMania now, where if WrestleMania...
What if The Rock isn't there? Well, actually, I suspect there's a good chance he'll be there doing a promo or something, but what if he isn't there? Are you still going to be excited?
Oh, yeah, because, like, Hogan will be there, and Austin will be there, and...
Well, Austin's not going to wrestle.
Well, no.
Hogan might, but... That'll be a moment. I'll give you that.
But there'll be all these wonderful old stars there. Lesnar will be there. Who knows about The Undertaker? Right? You'll see Hunter will wrestle. Seriously. And stars will be there. But Shawn
Speaking
Michaels.
Speaking of small penises.
Shawn Michaels will be there.
Yeah, but not for Russell.
It doesn't matter. They'll all just be there.
Yes, that's true. They'll be there. They'll be at the fan access, which we're going to.
This,
and the Hall of Fame.
You know
where they're going to induct Randy Savage, I believe, possibly.
Yeah. I'm wearing his t-shirt.
Yes, you are.
And, yes, and we've got Macho Man. So that means the Genius will be there.
Good enough.
Full of glory and renown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just, we got 2 days of access that we're going to be at. Like, the whole thing is just going to be fan-fucking-tastic.
Speaking of fan-fucking-tastic, sitting in with us today, you know, we'll just throw it on occasionally, to tell us about stuff and his opinion on stuff, is Mikey Whipwreck. ECW superstar Mikey Whipwreck, who I don't think he's ever, were you ever in the WWE, Mikey?
Fuck no.
But you were in WCW for a little while.
I was fucking in WC fucking W. I had two fucking matches, and I just fucking sat at home. Fuck.
Yeah, but you got paid a lot.
Fuck yeah, I fucking did.
Yeah. So that's Mikey Whipwreck. Fuck. Mikey Whipwreck, former ECW star.
Fuck.
sitting in with us today. Mikey, yeah, what do you think about WrestleMania? You excited now with The Rock showing up and everything?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah?
Fuck. I was just all of a sudden watching the fucking edge of my fucking seat. It's like fucking, holy fuck, it's the fucking Rock.
Yeah.
I looked at myself because I was the only one watching the fucking show. No one ever fucking comes over any fucking more to watch this fucking show.
You might have been the only one. I saw the ratings.
I had a fucking mirror in the background there and I fucking went, oh fuck.
What'd you say?
Oh fuck.
Oh, okay.
It's the fucking Rock.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
Thanks for your intellectual analysis.
Any fucking time, guys.
Yeah, no, we'll keep throwing back to you. We got that kind of genius.
Full of glory and renown.
Coming to us.
Who's coming?
Me.
Uh-oh.
You want to clean up here.
Yeah, please
do. Give some towel handy.
Please do.
Anyway, Michael Whipper was with us today.
Yeah, that's cool. let's get into the big news of the week.
There's big news this week?
Hoda. No. The Rock returned for a
second. Wait a second, really? The Rock was there?
The fucking Rock was there. Great promo. Hilarious. Didn't beat the shit out of Rusev, just beat him out of the ring, so they didn't totally annihilate Rusev.
I don't think Rusev is hurt by this at all.
No.
In fact, I think he's elevated by this. Some people did. Oh, why would you do that to Rusev? One guy on, the guy writes the, came up to Shake Them Ropes, the guy on FLW who wrote their, like, Monday Night Raw recap is like, well, why would you ruin this act? And The Rock humiliates him, and now Rusev doesn't get the rub from The Rock. He's worse off after this, and I'm like, No. Rusev, the fact that he's in the ring and The Rock chooses to talk to him even, and it just makes him like, you're a star because The Rock is out here confronting you.
Exactly.
Like, if you know.
You are worth confronting.
You're on his radar. You are a star.
You are a star.
Like Orlando Jordan.
A lot like Orlando Jordan. Yeah. In fact, Rusev and Orlando Jordan have a lot in common, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Lana.
Hmm? No, anal.
So anyways, yeah, no, it's, I mean, he that was great for Rusev, because the fact that he's the Rock is, yeah, I mean, he seems like he's at almost, not the Rock's level, but he's got to be one of the top stars within the company right now,
yeah.
To even have had that moment.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good for him. When The Rock is on the screen, The Rock is different than everybody else because when the announcers are laughing, it's not because Vince McMahon tells them, laugh, damn it, that's funny. Tell everybody it's funny, damn it. Come on, pal, funny.
Humor, pal.
Fucking laugh. God,
yeah,
damn it.
It's because he's fucking funny. Even the producer was watching it with me, yeah. and she laughed a few times at his stick a Smirnoff bottle up your poop.
No, the one that got me was the first one was, I don't know.
The moose knuckle?
No, the moose knuckle was
clanging and banging.
No, it was my shorts pulled up to my nipples.
Yes. Because
as soon as he said that, I never realized that about Rusev, but as soon as he said it, I'm like, it's so true. And I just burst out laughing.
I know.
So,
it's like great. Like Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah. And we don't, of course, talk about The Rock's nipples.
No.
Because we don't want to talk about his woman breasts.
He got those taken care of.
He got those surgically. And also I found out from The Rock being on the show that the wellness policy actually is in effect. Because nobody can be doing human growth hormone in the WWE because The Rock does them all.
Yes.
There's none left for anybody else.
Yes.
How fucking huge did he look?
We have to wait till The Rock to die and inject his ashes.
Probably. Like, how huge did he
look? I know. As soon as he took his shirt off, I looked at the producer and I went,
saw his arm,
he doesn't
like,
have to take a steroid test. But yes.
No. He is fucking
well, no, but
up.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, you're making some gross accusations. He got that way by clanging and banging.
After taking human growth hormone.
Right. Right. Which gave him the energy to clang and bang.
Clanging and banging is great.
Yeah, well, your mom likes it.
Yeah.
But I think that is it. So that was it. That was Raw.
Now that I'm living with my parents, can you please stop that? It's keeping me up at night.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's keeping me up at night. But The Rock was the whole show. Ambrose was good. Ambrose, I thought, was, again, the... What Ambrose...
Ambrose elevates really shitty, like, his material shit.
Yeah.
But he elevates it.
You know what Ambrose is to me when I was sitting there watching? And we just watched the three quarters before we had to tap out. It was so shitty. Monday Night War episode on Steve Austin.
Yes.
And Dean Ambrose reminds me a lot of Steve Austin, not just that he bucks authority or, you know, is this you know, rebel without a cause kind of guy. That we talked about the Cool Hand Luke character.
Yeah.
But what he is he's a diamond amongst shit. and Steve Austin was your guy for, you know, Steve Austin come out, and after Bret Hart got screwed, and you had Steve Austin doing his thing, you still had the fucking Godwins and the headbangers.
You look at that 1996 King of the Ring he wins.
Yeah.
I think about it. He's beating a fat, out of shape
Jake
Roberts in the finals. I mean, you look at the roster around that time. It's
just depleted.
It's just
Savio Vega.
Yeah.
You know, in there.
There's no charisma. There's no athleticism. It's awful. Like, he was, like you say, he was a diamond among all this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, Ahmed Johnson, because, like, that was, he's had longevity, at least, because, like, they talk about guys sort of evolving the gimmicks over time. Ahmed Johnson used to be black, now is Samoan and being called Roman Reigns. He's really evolved his character. But, like, that was just crap. And now you look at Ambrose, and that's what you
got. I can understand Roman Reigns.
Can you?
Yeah.
See, I can sort of understand Roman Reigns. It's hard when they interview him for 7 seconds.
That's true.
Fuck.
That's true.
The thing is, like, Ambrose is, you know, like I said, Austin was in around the fucking Godwins and the Body Donnas and the Savio Vegas. And now we got Ambrose who's sitting around fucking bunnies and Toritos and Gators and all this horse shit.
Yes.
That's around him. And so that's really, I mean, as good as Ambrose, it's a different time. And that's the problem, is that, like, Austin, I don't think could have succeeded if he'd had this writing team.
You never would have said Austin 316, just kick your ass.
No, of course not, because that wouldn't have been scripted, pal.
No, exactly.
And even the what they got him to do, or the underneath characters, the Mankinds and the Undertaker, they're all starting to kind of elevate around him.
Yeah.
So that by the time it came, The Rock, Austin, Taker, Foley, you had all these guys, you know, even Hunter, ready to go. The Outlaws were over, right?
Yes, I mean, yeah.
You had all these guys just there. And
they were hungry guys looking for an opportunity, yeah. Now they were getting it, which of course you don't get now. And one of the things that you talked about last week about how watch your own program, Hunter, they talk about how the Raw was stuck with people like, you know, the Sultan and the TL Hoppers and all these horrible gimmicks, and now you're doing the Bunny and the Torito and all this shit.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that I forgot what I was going to say.
Good. It probably wasn't important. But, I mean, it's all this crap that they don't... What they don't have is they don't have competition. So they don't
It used to be, like I say, these guys were hungry coming up. And one of the things that they always said, people came over from WCW, your Big Show, your the Radicals, Chris Jericho, they didn't leave because they were going to make more money. I mean, there was no guarantee of more money. In fact, it was probably a guarantee of less. But there was an opportunity. There was no glass ceiling. And it was pretty much about the same time WCW shut down that a glass ceiling started to appear in the WWF.
Very much so.
And it hasn't changed since. There's a glass ceiling.
Yeah, and it actually, ironically, it started with The Undertaker.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. And so, I mean, really, one of the things that you look at it and you go, that's one of the things that's lacking, that was better about that era, was people were hustling because they knew if they hustled and got over enough, they could actually get an opportunity. And Zack Ryder's a proof that in this era, that's not the case.
Well, that's exactly. And it's, yeah, it's shit.
And so it is shit. It's you got a glass ceiling, and you can't say you don't have it. And you got a product that is stuck it's not stuck in the 80s. I don't know if it's stuck in the 90s. It's not sure as hell. I don't know when it's stuck, but it's stuck. But it's stuck. It's not fresh. It's not today. It's not. It doesn't reflect today's society.
Yeah.
Which is what they did usually when they're successful.
It's like, you know, and well, no, this kind of makes sense because the WWF product right now doesn't feel fresh, even after it showers, right? But that would make sense because it's run by a douche.
That's true. So Vince McMahon is a douche.
Yes, and so is Hunter.
Oh, you're talking about Hunter? Well, actually, I look at NXT. NXT is a lot more fresh and a lot more today.
Wow.
It's a lot more a sports type feel and natural storylines, and some of that is Hunter. Not all of it.
Not all, but some of it's some of it's necessity.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta work with what you got. I mean, if you imagine putting on, I mean, you imagine if John Laurinaitis was running NXT, and remember when they had that, you know, we're not gonna hire anybody that's under like 6'4".
Yeah, it was 6'3". It was 6'3" and 240 pounds or something.
You imagine watching an NXT of that? You imagine watching Green, Roman Reigns, and Eric Rowans? Like, just nonstop, because that's all it would be.
That's true.
It's brutal.
You would not, under him, you wouldn't have Aaron Neville. You wouldn't have...
Aaron Neville? I don't know much, but I know Ross sucks shit.
Adrian Neville?
Let me be.
You wouldn't have Pac. You wouldn't have Kevin Steen.
You would not have Adrian Neville. You wouldn't have Kevin Steen. You wouldn't have
Tyler Breeze. You wouldn't have
Baylor.
Yeah, you wouldn't have any of these guys.
Yamaguchi Nakamura. You wouldn't have
Hideo.
Mr. Hideo.
Yes. You wouldn't have
My Hideo Itami, my 1982 Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
But you also wouldn't, you know, look, literally, if John Laurinaitis was running, you would know what I like
playing on your Hideo Itami was pole position?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you like the pole position. But I know that if John Laurinaitis was running NXT, we would right now be singing the praises of that charismatic upstart Mojo Rawley. Because he would be the best of the bunch.
We would not be saying the praises of it. We'd be shitting going, this guy's the best of the bunch, and that's all you got.
No, we'd be like, at least they have Mojo Rawley. Really. Because standards would be so low.
That's so true. It's so true, though. And in many ways, is that... So, I mean, when we're sitting there saying Hunter's a douche, and he is.
Yeah.
But he's better than... I mean, Vince McMahon's a real guy who's, what, 68 now? Far behind the times, and, you know, showing his age. He showed his age once before.
Yeah.
Then he got revitalized. It's not happening again.
I don't even know that he necessarily showed his... Yeah, he had someone that influxed. And again, he needed to do that. He was forced into it. And no one's going to force him into it, so...
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. The only one that...
So the fact that you have The Rock on the show and you have your worst rating of the year...
Well, again...
doesn't force you into anything.
Well, I mean... You did have a rise of, 300,000 people or some shit for, you know, first hour to second hour. But Rock also was not...
You didn't advertise them.
Well, no.
I think they're thinking,
well,
they
didn't know. They didn't know. It was a last-minute decision. He happened to be, the stars were aligned where he was able to go to the show. Because they didn't even know the day of that he was going to be. They knew he was going to be in New York.
No, here's the thing. They didn't know.
I knew he was going to go. I knew he was in New York that morning.
Yeah, okay. They didn't know. They didn't. It was a last-minute thing.
Right.
They did know before he actually went out there.
Yes.
They did know. They could have been on social media. They could have been doing different things. They could have been on their website. They could have been on their app. They could have been on all these things saying, The Rock is here.
Right.
The Rock will be out soon. They could have been doing all this.
They could have been
and
doing that.
And that is something. And well, that would have created more of a buzz. I think they're thinking the he'll come out and it'll be such a surprise.
Yeah.
And people talk about it on social media or text their friends. And everybody will turn out from the football game. Did this happen during the halftime of the football game? Because I watched it delay.
I don't know. It was hour two. It was the beginning of hour two, so I don't know how that...
And this was a shitty football game. And you know, horrible game. So, I mean... But, again, I don't know... Like, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. To me, that makes no sense. The Rock is here. What's he going to say? Who's he going to talk to? What's his purpose? Build it up. Even if it's an hour before the show, that's when you know he's there. You fucking start talking about it.
Did you hear what you just said? What is his purpose? Like, they have a fucking clue what his
purpose. But he did have a purpose. His purpose was to...
He did. They didn't.
Well, no, but his character did. His purpose was to talk to Rusev because he's an international a-hole.
Yes. That's true. And Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And all that shit. I don't know. It's great. Yeah, I love it. It was back. It was great. And then
I watched it three times. Yes. It was tremendous.
I watched it twice.
I loved... There's a lot of little things about it I love. I love watching The Rock just look at the camera and go, I'm back.
Yeah.
I love The Rock saying, I was here to see the captain. And then the Derek Jeter chants start. And he looks at them and goes, that happened. Like, it's like, yes, that happened. That's not me bullshitting. I was here to see Derek Jeter one last time. That happened.
And
you can see when he was there, it's like, I don't know these wrestling at WrestleMania. I don't know. But there was a speculation. I mean, even when we've seen him since, we've seen him, at WrestleMania or whatever, there's no sense that he was going to wrestle again. We didn't know if that was his last match against CM Punk. I now know that's not his last match. I don't know when it's happening. I don't know who his opponent is. I don't know if it's Rusev. I don't know if it's any of that. I just know that the reaction he got and how much fun he's having and how
last just match the look on his... Sorry, last match he did CM Punk.
Did I say CM Punk?
Yes.
Well, that's the one last one I'd like to remember.
Oh, yes. That's true.
But his last match against John Cena, whatever. The point being that I know he got hurt in both of his matches and all this. Well, both his main event matches
against Cena. Both of his matches against Cena.
Because CM Punk, he was fine twice. But
weird. Funny how that bad boy works your mama.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I just know. It's like, he's not done. He's going to wrestle again because he loves it.
Yeah.
It's to him, that's where he feels his most himself.
My favorite part.
But I also love just seeing him, like, leave the ring, take a special time to talk to the people at the front row.
Yeah.
Pick, people in wheelchairs, the John Cena fan.
It shows he's got no ill will against John Cena. That's what I said. At least the one, that's what I just said, that there was that one with the wheels on its chair. And I don't know why he went, the kid was so lazy, he wouldn't even get up to go see The Rock.
That's true. He didn't get out of his seat. He's right there in front row, and she doesn't even get out.
You come see me, Rock. I'm like, fuck.
Little stuff like that. He's very genuine, and he likes being out there, and it's home to him.
I liked when he kicked Russo out of the ring, when he punched Russo out of the ring, and Rusev was on the ramp, and he does the, just bring it, motherfucker.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's like, motherfucker, just... And the producer looked at me and goes, did he just say, yeah.
That's The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, but, no, it was great.
And then... But then, so that was a great part of Raw, but then we had an even better part of Raw. Because the main event happened.
The Roman Reigns interview?
The main event happened.
Uh-huh.
Roman Reigns, we already talked about Roman Reigns. We talked about Roman Reigns for twice as long as the actual fucking segment happened. Mm-hmm. Gives a fuck about Roman Reigns.
Maybe Mikey Whipwreck does.
Fuck, you know what they need to do with Roman Reigns? They need to stick him on a bus and put him across the country. Just glad-handing
with
people.
Jack Swagger?
No, the Roman Express.
Mm. Hey, Mikey Whipwreck.
Fuck.
Who do you think? Who do you think the bunny is? You think it's Zack Ryder? A lot of people think it's Zack Ryder.
Fuck, who gives a fuck about the
you trained Zack Ryder.
Fucking bunny, the fucking bunny.
But you trained Zack Ryder. Wouldn't you like to see him get on?
Zack Ryder, and he goes on the fucking internet, and he tells everybody about how fucking great Zack Ryder is. He talks about the big O. He talks about all his fucking friends. Did he fucking mention me one fucking time? No, he never fucking mentioned me. So what the fuck? I mean, Kurt Hawkins, we were really good fucking friends. Fuck, Kurt Hawkins was going to bring me on fucking TV. But then they fucking fired Kurt fucking Hawkins. In fact, fucking Kurt Hawkins hadn't fucking done up that I was going to be the fucking bunny. But then they fucking stopped talking to me, and then it was fucking like, well, you're too short to be the fucking bunny. I'm too fucking short to be the fucking bunny. You fucking kidding me? I'm a fucking bunny size. The fuck? Fucking Zack Ryder. Who gives a fuck about Zack Ryder? Fucking bunny.
So you're proud of him because you trained him?
Oh yeah, fucking totally proud of the fucking boy. It did fucking good for him fucking self. I just sitting there, fuck, does he still, whoever fucking hires Zack Ryder next is going to be fucking, should be happy to fucking have him.
Yeah, Jersey Pro Wrestling? Or
yeah,
Jersey
fuck, is that where he's going?
That's likely.
Is that, when's he booked?
Are you hoping to get a booking yourself?
Fuck yeah.
Oh.
Student,
do you travel? Do you
fucking
ever,
student versus teacher. I fucking love it.
Do you ever train on a trampoline?
A fucking trampoline. I fucking love trampolines. Dennis Stamp. Fuck.
Mikey Whipwreck, folks.
Yeah, Mikey Whipwreck. All
giving
right.
us some insight.
The main event of Raw happens. And did you realize that it is grounds for disqualification to kick someone in the face?
No.
I fucking hate these people.
But it is if you're not the legal man.
I fucking hate these people.
He wasn't the legal man.
I don't give a fuck. I have watched. I counted. I went back and I counted how many wrestling matches that I watched last week.
Yes.
93,173.
You really love the network. So
not one of those matches ended in disqualification for the non-legal participant beating on an opponent. Not one.
I've seen disqualifications where the non-legal guy runs into the ring and kicks the other guy. I've seen it.
When?
It's not consistent. Fuck. Usually it's just considered a breakup of a pin.
Yes.
And you have 5 seconds to get out.
How many pin breakups have you seen?
Oh, WWE, I think that, what is it that Harry Smith said there? They allow one per match, per side. That's all they allow. That's a behind-the-scenes rule.
Yes.
You're only allowed to do it once per match per guy, which, of course, pissed off Harry because he's like, yeah. So there's certain psychology behind using that, especially for the heels. And you only say you can do it once, you're a dumb fuck.
But now you can't
then
do
again,
it at all.
The thing is, you have to remember, they're dumb fucks.
They are dumb fucks. And watching the end of Dumb Fuck Raw, it was...
Is that his new name?
Dumb Fuck...
Raw is Dumb Fuck.
That's the name of our show. But watching this, you know what? Oh, honest to God, after Raw is Dumb Fuck, you know what my first thought was? The first immediate thought that popped into my head?
You know what my first thought was?
To get food.
Well, I haven't had a thought since, actually.
Mm. But,
No, it's to watch Edge and Christian's SmackDown show of SmackDown Anniversary 15th.
Totally, I watched that, yesterday.
That reeks of totally reeks of awesome. I can't remember the long title.
Yeah. I know. Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
It was awesome. But the thing is, my first thought.
I'm still waiting for one.
Triple H needs to pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to call Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Bret Hart has to become Pat Patterson.
They really need a finish guy.
He needs...
Because it's not just this match. I mean, we've seen the Divas have the same finish. We've seen Rollins running on multiple matches. We've seen the Divas have the same finish, like 3 weeks in a row.
Even when
we see multiple times. You see the exact same finish on a show. It'll be a guy comes out and distracts the other guy, and it'll be the same finish
for a while. You'll see it twice, where the guy will be not break on the count of five for a choke.
You right? have the same finishes to multiple matches on the same Raw or in the same pay per view, and. Just, yeah, they really are badly missing some people with some fresh ideas on how to do finishes.
And they need
Bret
Hart.
It's really hurting them. Well, he's got the best mind for it since Pat Patterson.
Yeah.
Is the thing. He literally does have the best mind for it
in
the business since Pat Patterson. So, yeah, I mean, it would be great. It would be great. You know, the time I got a chance to talk to him for a few minutes and interview him that we put up on the show, that was the question I actually wanted to ask him that I had to cut because we were getting forced out for a next radio interview for him. So it's too bad because that is definitely, that's definitely missing.
Yeah, it's badly missing, and I can't think of
it's missing in the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble's last few years as far as the finishes and just the booking, the inventiveness. Oh. It used to be, like you'll remember, it used to be the way it was booked, it would tell a certain story a couple of stories within the match, and there would be a hardcore moment and a moment for. Now it's just about the surprises. Like there is the surprises and the finish, but the match itself, as far as the storytelling and the quality of the match, compared to what used to be, has gone way downhill the last few Raw.
Don't worry, Royal Rumbles. Don't worry. This year's Royal Rumble, 40 participants.
Fuck, really?
Yes.
Philadelphia?
Yes.
Again, you build it too much around the surprises and not enough around the story. And Patterson used to book them in a way that used both.
Well, you so would have go back and watch peeling off of it, and that's happened years back. I remember when Edge and Jericho were set to feud, or were Edge was going to come back, and it was feud with Jericho, and at the time it was like, that's great. This is a feud of two guys, upper mid card or main event guys, that don't need the title. And then Edge wins the Royal Rumble, Jericho wins the Chamber, and they fucking fight for the title. But they didn't tell a story within that Rumble to set up.
No, they didn't.
You know, it's just,
well, you look back. I can just say to you, look at the 1991 Royal Rumble. Look at the 2001 Royal Rumble. Look at the 2011 Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
and you'll see a story in the 1991 Royal Rumble. Yeah. You'll see a multiple stories and a way it's told and the way it takes its time to tell a few different stories.
Yeah.
So I mean, and the same thing for the 2001 Royal Rumble. You'll see a story, and then you'll see multiple stories. 2001 in particular.
Kane
and Drew Carey, and you had the hardcore moments.
Hardcore
and
the hardcore elements.
You had all that stuff.
Was the other one the... was that the year? No, it was 2000.
Austin and Kane, and you know. But you have that, and then you look at 2011. There wasn't... Last year, Roman Reigns set a record. It is not memorable enough. Roman Reigns setting a record last year is less memorable than when Kane set the record.
Yes.
Because there was a story being told at the same time. He didn't even win the fucking thing.
No.
Well, neither did Reigns.
Neither won, but yeah.
Neither did Reigns. But it's more memorable when Kane did it because of how it was done.
And it was one of the major stories to come out of it.
Yes. And it was harped on ever since. And same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing when you look at Steve Austin and the first time he won. When he left the ring and got eliminated but got back in. There was a story, but there was multiple stories going on.
I believe that was in 1997.
I think it might have been. Yeah, are you familiar with that
game? I am familiar with 1997, yes.
No, but I mean, and that's the thing. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, sets a record. It's not as memorable as there was the year that Diesel threw out all those guys. That was a story.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the only story told that night.
Yeah.
There was the him throwing out all those guys that established him as a star. Then there was Shawn Michaels screwing him that laid the foundation for down the road. Then you had the who the fuck won it again?
Who? When was it? What are you talking about?
The one where Diesel threw out all those guys.
Shawn super kicked him.
No, not that one. Where he threw out all the guys.
Oh, the 94 that were co-winners.
That's right. You had the co-winners. So you had the co-winners, which was coming in after a tag team match where one of the guys was hurt. You had the moment with Diesel throwing out all the guys, establishing him as a star. You had the moment with Shawn Michaels kicking Diesel out of the ring and screwing him. You had didn't you have a moment where all the guys jumped or ganged up on, was it Taker, or was that later? That was in Taker's match.
Yeah.
Against Yokozuna or something?
Yeah, it was 94. That was a casket match.
But you had, so the point is, though, I just named like three or four stories that happened.
Yeah.
Last year, Batista won, but it doesn't feel like a story. The story
that was a story. Batista was a story.
Well, the story was that Daniel Bryan wasn't in it, but it was a story made by the fans, not a story they booked.
That's right.
And the same, and Roman Reigns wins it, but he's just throwing out all these guys, and it doesn't feel like a story is being told.
No.
It just feels like they're booking him to throw out all these guys to set the record to be strong because they're pushing him.
Yeah.
And so, to me, when you look at Patterson,
it's funny,
and how much they miss him,
yeah.
The Royal Rumbles are, now, it's all you see it all the time in the finishes and the pay-per-views, but the Royal Rumbles are like the microcosm, because that was his brainchild, and that was like his masterpiece.
Now,
and now it's like that masterpiece is being painted by a kid in art class in grade 3.
Yeah, and that's why they need Bret Hart. I mean, the problem with WWE is that they think they already have the closest thing to Pat Patterson because Darren Young's under contract. So they probably won't even give Bret a second look. But, I mean, you also look at think about the record holders. Diesel. Kane, Roman Reigns. I see a lot of similarities in how their careers will go.
It's true. It's true. But there were storylines for a guy. There'd be a guy. Who was that year that Diesel did that? I guess was there an Iron Man one? Or probably wasn't because he threw everybody out.
Yeah, I don't think that there.
But there would be a Diesel.
It might have been a Hunter.
There would be an Iron. Like the year that. How many storylines was there the year that. That Ric Flair won.
Oh, good God. Well, and a lot of them revolved around Flair.
Yes, but but there was multiple storylines with him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that one.
Piper comes in. There's Hogan. Hogan Taker. There's Savage. There's Savage and Jake. You know.
So when you say it's going to be 40 men, it doesn't matter because it's 40 men so that they can have five fucking surprise entrances. And you know what? Five surprise entrances doesn't mean shit.
No.
If that's all you're using to pop it. Because you know what? That's starting to get old. About 2 years ago, surprise entrances. You know, actually, it's more than 2 years ago. The year that the three announcers entered?
Yes.
That was the year it got the
they did surprise that last year, too.
Did they?
Because JBL was one of the guys that Roman Reigns eliminated.
Well, and I don't remember. And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, but that was where, like, up until that point, the surprises were a big deal. When it was Jimmy Snuka and Roddy Piper and things like that.
Yes.
But yes, as soon as, now that you're building it just around those surprises, the surprises have gotten old. You jumped the shark when you did that one, and you need to do something else. You need to get the fucking storytelling back in.
It takes a JBL to know a JBL.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly. And you know what? That's the other thing is one of the reasons why did people love the John Cena versus Brock Lesnar match where Lesnar destroyed him? You know why? Not because it was a great match, because it was a story was being told.
Right.
You know, and we're not used to seeing storytelling. In fact, this last pay-per-view, people were talking about the Orton and Jericho match as being the best match in the show. It wasn't that they were the most athletic or anything like that. I mean, if anything, they looked like they had lost a step.
Yeah.
But they knew how to tell a story, and that's lacking so much.
Oh, it's not.
And the finishes are lacking, yeah. Like you say. So, anyways, you know what they should do is get Bret Hart.
They should get Bret Hart, and then that was my first thought watching Raw. We do have a Twitter question here.
Fuck it.
From our friend James Wesley Odom.
Who
do we think is the most overrated and underrated wrestlers of all time?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Overrated?
Overrated.
Underrated.
Well, I already talked about Roman Reigns, if we want to name a current guy.
But I don't think he's overrated. I think he's overly valued.
Yes.
Within WWE's eyes. So that's not the same as
being, rate him overly.
I don't think among the populace he's overly rated.
I don't know. I think he might be.
Maybe.
I think Kane, definitely. I think Randy Orton. I think a lot of the roster right now is overrated.
Randy Orton, when I think about guys, I mean, Randy Orton and Triple H are two guys I think to myself. When I think of guys who are overrated.
Yeah, Hunter is definitely overrated. Great.
I don't know.
And he's great.
I wouldn't say he's the most overrated of all time because he is really tremendous. He's very good.
But he's very overrated.
But he's still over. Like, he rates himself. Like, you can tell he thinks of himself as being one of the greatest ever. He's a few levels down. He's a couple levels down. He's the same level as Randy Orton to me.
Yeah, you say Randy Attitude Era, you think of Austin Rock, right? Then you have Taker and Foley.
Yep.
And then you have Hunter. But he thinks of himself as you have Austin, Hunter, Taker. Or Austin, Hunter, Taker, Rock. Right? Like, he thinks of himself.
No, you think of himself as Austin, Rock himself.
Yeah.
And Taker. Is what you meant. Right?
Maybe. But I mean, but he thinks of himself in that upper echelon.
And whereas we go, no, you were, you know, you're John Cena level, which is just a level below Shawn Michaels. It's great, but it's not.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, I mean, at the end, he was being, you know, consistently put up there.
I think Jeff Jarrett, very overrated.
Ric Flair's overrated.
You think so?
Yes. Because he's viewed as being the greatest.
Well, yeah, but
and he was great, again, but he wasn't the greatest.
Well, but, I mean,
this leads into the game I wanted to play.
Put him into, okay, well, let's go with the game. Who's underrated then?
Randy Savage is underrated.
Yeah.
Who's underrated?
Ricky Steamboat is underrated.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, I look at, as a wrestler in the ring for his great matches and athleticism, how smooth he was, Like,
you know who's
again, people don't talk enough about like Bobby Eaton. To the people that worked with him or watched his era,
yeah,
he's not underrated.
Right.
But to the general populace,
history,
he's yeah. underrated. Too Cold Scorpio to me runs along those lines. Yeah. I mentioned it before. I just think he was like the best.
The producer yesterday, before we were going to bed, was talking to me about this this teacher at our work,
mm-hmm.
whose name is Tracy,
mm-hmm.
and I said, "Do you have another teacher at your school named Nadine?" Mm-hmm. She said, "No, why?" I said, "Well, then you could have Tracy and Nadine." She's like, "Tracy and Nadine." She goes, "I'm like, they're famous dancers."
She's like, I'd like to see them on Dancing with the Stars.
She's like, "Dancers?" She's like, "Famous dancers?" I'm like, "Yeah, the Funkettes." That's what their name was.
Who's hotter, the Funkettes or the Funkadactyls?
Dactyls.
You think? The Funkettes were pretty hot.
They were. They were, but I'm going to go with Dactyls.
Yeah.
Just to say Dactyls, really.
Yeah. Dets or Dactyls? What are we going with? Dets or Dactyls?
Dets versus Dactyls.
Are you sure that isn't the show title?
Could be. No. What was that? What did we come up with?
Raw is a dumb fuck?
Raw is dumb fuck, yes. Yeah. Raw is dumb fuck, still better. We'll write that down.
And he does. So most underrated, yeah, I mean, again, it becomes who's underrated among, like, WWE is writing history.
Yes.
So WWE, a guy like Bobby Eaton has no place in WWE history, right?
Beta.
He has, well, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yes.
Right? But WWE has no place in Bobby Eaton has no place in WWE history, so he's just forgotten, despite being great, mm-hmm. and despite having all the success. Midnight Express.
You know who is great that they never talk
if
about
If WCW
anymore,
had won...
Chris Benoit.
Well, that's true. I don't know if he's underrated. He's just forgotten. But there's a different reason.
They never talk about him, though.
They don't talk enough about Eddie.
Yeah, he's going to be... Apparently some Eddie clips on this SmackDown 15.
I hope so.
On Friday. I've got the PVR actually set. I don't usually watch SmackDown, but I've got the PVR set to record that yeah. just to see what they do. And Rock's going to be on as well.
Oh, is he?
Backstage segment with Hunter.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
yeah, I mean...
Hunter and Rocket Tits.
Rocket Tits. Rocket Tits. Rocket Tits. Stephanie!
I'm a Rocket Tits.
Rocket Tits.
As soon as she came out, that was my first tweet. I'm like, hey, it's Hunter and Rocket Tits. Because she's like...
As soon as she came out, I thought to myself, huh. So Stefani's about to release a workout video.
Yes, and have you heard about this? It's like the photoshopped cover.
Oh, it's photoshopped. I've seen both the covers. I've seen the cover for her and for... And that's the show pictures. The cover for her and Triple H. These photoshopped to... just, like, photoshopped the shit out of these.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Who is underrated? Towards the end, X-Pac was underrated because he got that X-Pac heat. And I thought, you know... No,
he was properly rated.
He's still a good talent.
He was properly rated.
Properly painted?
Properly painted. He was properly rated. So you get guys who are underrated. Okay, so who's underrated? Eugene was one of the most underrated ever.
Recently released.
He was working as a trainer. Eugene, as far as a worker, one of the most underrated guys they ever had.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know it because he got saddled with a horrible gimmick. William Regal, underrated.
Yeah, to a certain degree, I think he was. What about
Tito Santana?
You know,
underrated.
You know who was underrated? Demolition.
No.
Demolition were great. And they just got the
knock properly rated.
That they're this Road Warrior ripoff, but never got the just due that they deserve for being what they were.
No, I disagree. I think they got exactly what they...
I don't think so.
I think they're regarded as one of the top 10 teams in WWF history.
I think that shows to me
that they're properly rated.
I don't think that they would be considered in the top 10. I would. But I don't think that... I think I might not. I probably would.
But, I think they're properly
rated. They're no Speed Force. But still.
No. No, they are... They are no Speed Force. World's greatest tag team. There's an underrated team.
And here comes all Angston.
I wonder if Daniel Bryan is overly rated.
Fucking bad name. speed and some force.
Let's get into the game.
Their middle name.
Let's get into the game.
Actually, his middle name would be E, wouldn't it?
What's that?
His first name would be Big. His first name would be E.
I have like 7,000 guys, so you tell me how many you want to do.
And his last name
Langston. No, there's no Langston anymore. Okay.
So, sorry, how many guys do you want to do?
I have on this list of names that we're going to do for this game.
Oh, what?
About
this
4
is all
billion,
just a game to you?
About 4 billion different guys. And okay, there's a name. I'm already seeing a couple names that are underrated.
It's 6 billion names, one for every year the WWE will be in business.
What this is, I was waiting for you because you were off. I'm off work before you and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for you. I'm going to grab food. And I'm watching on my tablet in my car. I'm watching the Bret Hart timeline of 1992 and WWF, right? Yeah. From kayfabe commentaries. And it's awesome and people should buy it.
Yes.
Right? So this is great. And I'm watching it. And did I mention I was watching that?
No. What were you doing?
I was watching this. Okay, so there's this timeline.
I heard was you get off early.
I said I get off before you.
Oh, right.
That's not early.
Oh.
You just get off late.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Woo!
Seriously, you paid for a certain amount of time, get off.
Yeah.
There's a lineup.
I'm nice to your mother.
So Bret Hart in this is all, they're talking to him about Ric Flair, and Bret Hart's back to the thing that he always is that Ric Flair has a certain routine in a Ric Flair match.
Yeah.
And he's not as diverse, and it was exposed within his first run in the WWE. And there's probably something to that, though I think he's always a little bit
bitter.
I wouldn't say bitter, but just not understanding of coming at it from a certain perspective.
Yes. A bitter one.
I don't think he came across as bitter at all. But anyways, the point being, though, I mean, Ric Flair is, like I say, I mean, I would consider Ric Flair great. Like, Shawn Michaels, like I say, he's getting to the top of the list. I don't consider him at the top of the list for the best.
Right.
So he's another guy to me who's overrated. And it's not that he's not great. It's just that if we're talking about underrated or overrated, I'm not saying he's the most overrated because he's near the top and they put him right at the top.
Right.
Same thing with Ric Flair. He's near the top. They put him right at the top, though.
It's true.
So he's not the most overrated, but he is overrated, is how I'm putting it. So Bret Hart says how he always judges it is you look at somebody, you take three categories, and if they have a 10 in all these categories, they're a star.
Okay.
It's their
if they have a 10 in all these categories?
You'd really have something. If you could ever get somebody who's a 10 in all of these.
Oh, then they're awesome, super.
They'd be beyond belief. He's rating them. So he goes, he says it's a promo, their promo ability,
okay,
their look,
okay,
and their wrestling ability, in-ring wrestling ability.
Okay.
So I thought it would be fun for us to take this game and basically, yeah, I mean, just look at a bunch of guys, and we'll start with Hulk Hogan. And the reason we start with Hulk Hogan is because Bret said he was the guy he started with. He's like, if you were to look with Hulk Hogan, he said his promo would be a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
And his look would be a 9 out of 10.
Right.
And his wrestling would be a 1 out of 10. That's a Bret Hart quote.
Right.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that either. I'd say his work would be like a 4 out of 10. But
so I'd probably even go higher.
Maybe 5. But,
and let's give half points. Let's go 5. Because sometimes a guy is a 5.5. To me, I give Hogan a 5.5 out of 10. I give his look a 9 out of 10. I give his promo 8.5 out of 10. His wrestling 5.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where would you give him? About that?
Sure, about that. That sounds right.
So, I mean, that means he adds up to what?
I don't know. You never told me to read math. Like 23?
I don't know.
23.
It's 23. So he'd be a 23 out of 30, and that's your biggest star of all time. So Ric Flair, what would you have him at?
Let's see here. So from a promo, I'd give him 9 out of 10.
Okay.
For a in-ring work,
yeah,
I would give him, let's say, 8 out of 10.
Yep.
And then what's the last one?
Look.
I would say 8 out of 10 for the robes. I would say 7, but the ropes give me a 7.5 if we're doing half
so
points.
So he would end up being a 25.
Okay.
Under you. Because you give 8, 8, and 9. See, and I'd give him, right?
Yeah,
and
eight,
I give,
eight, nine. Okay. Yeah.
And I'd give his promos 8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
I'd give his look a 7 out of 10.
Right.
Okay. And I would give his wrestling an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
So, for under me, he's a little less. But
didn't I said 7, 8, 9, right? Basically. So, he's 24. But for you, he's a little less. But, I mean,
So, for me, he would be you would actually have him ahead of Hulk Hogan. I would have him over Hulk Hogan. Oh, sorry, under Hulk Hogan. I would have Hulk Hogan with, a 23, and I think I'd have Flair, what was that, like?
24.
7.
It's 24.
24 for Hogan?
No, okay, I don't know. It's, again, it's, why are we doing math?
No, Hogan was 23.
Okay.
Under my thing. And Flair is, let me see, a 7.
What'd you case?
An 8, so a 15, and a 8.5, so a 23.5. So he's a little ahead of Hogan, like I said.
Yeah, just as you were saying.
Yeah. So,
good point.
But they're both about the same. So, CM Punk, where would you play CM Punk?
As a promo, I would say 7.5. As a look, I would say 6. And as a worker, I would say 7. If 7 is average, I'll give him 7. So
I would give him
20.5.
Okay, and see, I give CM Punk...
the age of Jerry Lawler's last girlfriend.
25? 20.5. Oh, 20.5. So he's decided to date older women.
Mm, yeah.
So CM Punk, see, I would give his promo an 8.5. To me, that's his best thing. I would give his look a 6.
Yeah.
And I would give his wrestling a 7.5.
Okay.
So, what is that?
That is 22.
22. Okay. Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson. I would give his work 8.
Okay.
I would give his promo 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give his look a 4.5.
See, based on if Ric Flair was an 8 out of 10 in the ring, I'd give Arn Anderson a 7.5. And if Ric Flair's an 8 out of 10 promo, I'd give Arn Anderson a 7.5. So, or 8.5, I'd give Arn Anderson an 8. Just a little below.
See, I think that they're... I always liked Arn a little more. It was just different styles.
It is different styles. But, I mean, I would give him just a half point. So I would give him a 7.5, an 8. But I'd give his look, like, a 2.5.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where he... And you go, okay, why he didn't reach the next level? That's it. That's kind of, you know. Yeah. Randy Savage.
Randy Savage.
What'd he do?
Ruined my wedding.
That was who?
Randy Savage. Yeah.
No, he didn't ruin it. That's who did it.
Yeah. Do the finger wave while I do that.
Yeah, he does. It's not a video podcast, but he literally is. I thought you were just masturbating.
Later. I'm trying to think of... Okay, so Randy Savage. So, a look. Randy Savage's look would be... his look would be like... Let's say 8.5.
Okay.
Tempted to say 9, but I'm going to say 8.5.
Okay.
Again, the robes and the cowboy hats and stuff like that. And promo ability, I would also say 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
In-ring work, again, depends what what Randy Savage are we talking about. But if we're talking about his peak, I would also say 8.5.
When do you consider his peak?
From 84 to 90.
Okay. See, I mean, I look at him again. I think his look, I think you're about right. I think I give him an 8.5 for his look and an 8 for his promo. His wrestling, I would give a 6.5 out of 10.
Really? Well, overall, yeah. For his whole career, yeah, definitely.
Well, even I look at the 4 matches at WrestleMania 4.
Great.
Terrible matches. I look at his match. I mean, he didn't have particularly great matches with DiBiase, as good as they could have been.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know, I mean,
we talked though. Again, what Randy Savage did have is the lost art of the storytelling.
Well, I mean, he has a few matches that it's like he has a few matches that lift it up, right?
Yeah.
Match with Warriors, the two matches with Warrior. Yeah. You know, his match with Hogan, his match with Bret Hart, Saturday Night's Main Event.
Well, even the match with the Honky Tonk Man tells a story.
Well, Ricky Steamboat, you know.
Oh, fuck Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah. Is that Mikey Ripper?
Fuck. Fucking Ricky fucking Steamboat. Fucking, you're giving him a fucking 6 out of 10 after all that fucking, all those fucking matches. It's a Hall of Fame fucking match career fucking right fucking there.
But on the other hand,
point,
it's like...
Mikey, good point.
WrestleMania 4, not very good, you know.
Well, that's an event, though. I mean, he had 4 matches during WrestleMania 4.
He didn't have one good one.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
You know, I mean... I don't know. I saw enough matches where it didn't feel like... It felt to me like if he was in there with the right guy, with the right style, he could have a good match. It didn't feel to me like he could have a good match with anybody.
No.
So, I mean, you know, yeah, 6.5, maybe a 7 out of 10. Kind of where I... Yeah, that's about where I'd put him. Rick, where would you put Ricky Steamboat?
Rick Steamboat. Look... Again, when are we talking? You could give him, you could argue in some instances, you could give him a 9 for a look.
Really?
You
I
could.
Don't think you could ever give him a 9.
I think with the Steamboat Youngblood in that Carolina territory, if we were just to look, that and put it in that encompass area, like overall, I think I give him a 7 for his look. Again, average, if you're looking at the whole
I would give him a 7.
Picture.
He had a great build.
Yeah.
And he had kind of a little bit of the martial arts thing. I didn't like when they gave him the actual...
The fire.
Yeah, that shit didn't work.
That's
so, I mean, just to me, his first WWF run, when he, you know, WrestleMania 2, what he looked like there, WrestleMania 1, I think that's a good look.
WrestleMania 3, yeah.
6.5 out of 10, actually, I give. 6.5.
But if you go, again, but then if you go back to Steamboat and Youngblood against Slaughter and Carnoodle, and even back into the U.S. title feud in the 70s with Ric Flair...
Yeah,
and he's a heartthrob.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. Know? And I think it's a good look. I say I give it about 6.5 out of 10. That's a good look. 6.5, 7 out of 10.
That's
he's
what
in
I
that
see,
range.
I say 7.
His worst like a 9.5.
I think if you went back into the '70s and we're talking about '70s Ricky Steamboat, just '70s Ricky Steamboat, I think you could argue, you know, 8.5, 9 for a look.
Yeah, it seems a little much to me, but I know where you're coming from. But
yeah, I'm just
again,
saying.
His promo ability is like a 3.5, 4. Like 3 maybe.
You
like
know,
it's
you know who was a better promo than him at WrestleMania 4 was the Little Dragon.
Yes.
Yes.
Who didn't talk at all.
Didn't talk at all. Couldn't talk.
Yeah.
Had cheeks fatter than Bundy though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean promo. Yeah, I give him a 3, give him a 4.
And then 9.5. And this is why he didn't make it to that final level in WWE.
Well, one of the reasons.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah. He was also a selfish bastard that wanted to have a family.
Yeah, fucking have a family.
Divorce him and take his name.
That's right. Bruiser Brody.
Bruiser effing Brody. Great look. Like, I mean, for a look. Like, I mean, he's as close to a 10 as I'm going to give for a look.
Yeah, I know. I'd give him a 9.
Man look.
9 out of 10.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with his look, think what Bruiser Brody looks like. Or what Luke Harper... Sorry. Very tired.
What does Bruiser Brody look like? Well, just think about what Bruiser Brody looks like, okay? Like that.
What Luke Harper looks like.
Yes.
Peekaboo, you're doomed, by the way. That was great. His tagline at the end of his video. But think about...
Doomsday.
Think about what Luke Harper looks like. But this is in the 70s, and so it's even more original.
Yes.
You know?
But, I mean, so this is a great look. Promo? I think it's a good promo.
Yeah.
7.5 out of 10. For
I'd give him 8 out of 10 for a promo.
And then?
9 and 8 for me. And then
and
in
work,
ring?
I don't know, 6.
I think about a 6,
it wasn't about the work, really, with him.
So, I mean, he's up there at Hogan levels, though, now we're talking. Flair levels, you know?
The feud that never happened.
Yeah. Barry Windham.
Barry Windham. 8.5 for work.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a 7.5 for his look. Again, tall, blonde hair, had a good look.
Yep.
never heard a promo really that I liked.
There's a few. Yeah, I mean, I would give him like his work 8.5, his look 6.5, promo like 4.5.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 for promo. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. I mean, look, I'd give him an 8. He's a distinctive look.
Yeah, and 8's about right.
I don't think it's a super great look. I mean, we talk about Bruiser Brodies and all these. Yeah. A lot of it's been done before, but I mean, it stands out.
It definitely stands out.
Promo, give him a 9.
I'd give him an 8.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I'd give him an 8 now. I mean,
his delivery is a 9, but his content's a 7.
If we had done this game
6 months ago?
Yeah, before
I'd be giving him a 9.5.
Yeah, exactly. Now you got boring. Although now he seems to have a purpose. They give a purpose with the Luke Harper to be set
That's what
free.
We fucking talked about.
Then it's great again.
Yeah. Right? Well, those videos are awesome.
They are
just
awesome.
Awesome.
And he's going to have a baby. So that's nice. And work? I don't know. 5.
I'd probably give him a little more, like a 7. But
oh, I don't know about 7.
6.
He isn't really.
6. Okay, 6.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give him a 6 as a work. No, I think his work's pretty good, but it's not. So Steve Austin.
His promo's a 10. I have never heard any more money promos than Steve Austin.
Yeah, I don't think I give a 10, so I give a 9.5.
But I gave a 10.
No.
And his look? Well, if we're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, that look, as everybody can see.
Yeah. It's different. This even Stunning Steve Austin probably was a 6.5. Like
Stone Cold's look
up is
8.5. I think
it's a 7.5.
I just think because it was so different, it was so iconic. It's how many fucking bald-headed, goateed people do you see?
Well, now,
not even in wrestling, but walking the face of the planet.
Yeah,
you know, is because of him.
That's true.
So that's why I give him that 8. It's.
Oh, I thought it was actually. Is it because of him?
Yeah. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, it's all him.
It's all him?
All him.
Not Bad News Brown? Bad News Allen? You don't think?
Well, yeah, for the black people. But the white people, Austin, he took it.
Okay.
But, and then work, I'm going to give him 8.5.
I wouldn't give him quite that high. He was a better worker before his neck injury, obviously.
Obviously.
But I would give him like a 7.5 and like a 9.5.
I just think it was
9.5.
Great tag team program with Flair and Anderson, Steamboat matches in WCW, you know, and just the stuff with like Kurt Angle and
the problem, I think he worked really, really hard. The problem was that most of his matches follow the exact same pattern.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why I give him a 7.5. It's not that, you know. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give him an 8.5 because what do I give Chris Jericho or Eddie Guerrero, right? Because they're better than him. They're better workers than him. So
yeah,
okay. Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. Promo. Again, I would give Mick Foley a 9 for his promo.
I'd go 8.5.
And then I would go for his work. 6.
Oh, I give higher than that. I go 7.5.
I don't know.
And
don't know.
His look, well, as Mankind, I think his look is a 7. As Cactus Jack, I think his look is a 5.5. And as Dude Love, I think his look is a 6.5. So
6.5. Sure, I'll fall in 6.5 with that.
And
as Lou Albano.
So how many more of these you want to do? Like I say, I got about 1 billion.
Oh, 3.
3 more? Should I just throw out names? And I'll just throw out names, and you can say if you want to do that one or if we want to skip it. Okay, so Eddie Guerrero.
Sure, let's do Eddie Guerrero.
Okay.
Promo. 7.5.
I give an 8.
Yeah, okay, I could go 8. I just...
Think about his great promo, his first Latino World Order promo.
No, that's what I was kind of...
You know?
I'm your Papi Dominique.
Yeah, like...
Great stuff.
When he started to do the ad, the lie, steat, and shield. Like, his... Lie, steat, and steal.
Steat, and shield.
Steat, and shield. I'm really tired, did I mention?
Lie, congeal.
High.
He can't congeal, though.
He's
you
high.
No, he's not. Because then he's in
hell.
He's going to
cop a feel.
Then he's in hell. Work?
9.
Yeah, 9, about right.
And look? 6.
Yeah, that's about right. Six. You know? Like he did as much as he could with what he had.
Well, if he could do more, if he could have done more steroids, I might have been able to get.
He couldn't, though. You know why? The Rock was doing
them
all.
The Rock already did them all.
Fuck. And you know, whatever was left over, Chavo got.
That's true. Randy Orton.
And Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
Rey and Chavo.
Yes.
Friends of Eddie.
And that's who was.
Nephew of Eddie. Friends of Eddie.
Yeah.
That's 2-time steroid busts.
That's who The Rock shared them with. But then there's also Chris Benoit.
Oh.
Who found out what Rock's physical location was and just stole them. Mm. Okay, let's go on. What's the next one?
I got Chris Jericho. You want to do him?
Sure.
Okay. Promo. What do you give Chris Jericho as a promo?
Promo I give Chris Jericho. What did I give Eddie? No, promo for Chris Jericho would be a 8.
8.5, I think. I look at his whole career. I look at the great promo in WCW. I look at the great promo he was the first time around as a rock star character in WWF. And then I look when he came back and did the Nick Bockwinkel.
Nick Bockwinkel, yeah.
Type character. And I think, yeah, 8.5 for me.
Yeah.
So, work, I give 8.5.
Yeah, 8.5, I think. The one thing that you can say, one thing about Chris Jericho is that I don't know that there is anyone else who has been better at multiple styles.
Yeah, he's terrific at multiple styles, and he's great at, he does such a great job of making his opponent look good. Mm-hmm. He made Hulk Hogan on that SmackDown match they had.
Yes.
Looked like $1 million.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he was great that way without making it obvious. Not like Shawn Michaels, who made Hulk Hogan look like $1 million by obviously selling and bumping for him and being cartoony.
Yes.
He actually did it in a way that, you know. And his look.
Yeah. Well, his look. 7.5, 8.
Yeah, I think 7.5. He's certainly got a lot of different looks, and he's got a lot of flash. But at the end of the day, if you compare his look to and his flash to Randy Savage or Hulk Hogan...
Exactly.
He's just not at that level.
Yeah. He did get everybody wearing suits for a while.
That's true. Shawn Michaels?
Okay, we'll do Shawn Michaels as well.
Okay.
As Shawn Michaels is a promo... I gave Foley a 9, right?
Yeah.
So I'll give Shawn an 8.5. Work?
I give Shawn an 8 for a promo.
Yeah.
Work? I give an 8.5.
Yeah, I'd say 8.5 is fair.
Because he doesn't work. His heel working style wasn't diverse enough.
And
his look? Same thing as Jericho to me. Like a 7.5.
Yeah. 7.5, I guess. Yeah, he didn't have a great look.
Brian Pillman.
Brian F. and Pillman. This would be a good way to end it.
Okay, but we're not ending on Brian Pillman. But we're coming close. Soon. But I just got too many that these next ones are good. You don't want to do these ones.
Okay, let's do those ones first. We'll come back to Pillman.
No, because the one we're going to end on is good. It's perfect.
Fine.
Okay, so Brian Pillman. Actually, there's a reason to come back to Pillman.
Yes.
Now that you mention it. So we'll come back to Pillman. That's what I said. We'll come back to Pillman.
You'll come
Rob... Van Dam.
Okay.
The whole fucking show.
Promo 3?
I give him a little more because he was a good promo in ECW when he didn't have to worry about their scripts.
He was okay, yeah.
He's 4.5, I give. I give 4.5. I mean, okay. He's not great. His look?
I don't know. 6.
I think it was 7.5.
If Eddie was a 7, and
I give 7.5.
Yeah.
His work?
6. Maybe 7. 7. Give him 7.
I give 8. Again, I look at those Jerry Lynn matches, you know, things like that, and he was fucking great. I mean, his first matches with Jericho in the WWF, his matches with Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy.
I mean, again, if you're judging him in this last run.
Well, that's why I said you have to look overall. That's why I think 7.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Again, there's a difference to be
said. I'll go 7.5.
There's a difference to be said for his prime peak and for overall, right?
So. Yeah, you probably... Yeah, okay. Trish Stratus.
Oh. Well, again, look, 10.
Or look, I would probably give... Yeah, if it's I give 9, probably. Maybe 9.5. It's up there. As a female, look, for a female for the look category, Sable's probably a 10. So where does Trish fall to her, right?
10, probably, let's see.
About, pretty close, 9, 9.5. Boots. I don't think it's quite as high, but pretty damn close. Promo?
What? 6.5?
I think it's a 7. Little high. I think she's passable. But I'd go 5.5. Maybe you can get up to 6. But probably
she
5.5.
She was starting in that heel run to have a lot of personality.
She finally was, yeah.
You know, when she could do the personality.
Well, she was never... She wasn't shy or nervous or intimidated with being on the mic or on the stick, you know? No. She was okay with
never
being on the stick.
Never intimidated with being on the stick.
But as far as, like, actually how good it was and whatever, I'd give a 5.5. And then wrestling ability.
Well, again, for a chick.
Well, that's it. You're grading on a curve?
I mean, again, I think if you're grading on a curve, then I would say 8. If you're not, I would say 7.
Yeah, so I'll go 7.5. The thing is, I think the best female worker in North America that I've seen over the last 25 years, I don't think she's number one. I think she's probably in the top 5, probably.
Who thinks number one? I'd say Molly Holly.
I say Gail Kim.
Okay, Gail Kim, yeah.
I go Gail Kim is the best female worker. Molly Holly would be up there.
Yeah. Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of being on the stick.
Victoria,
yeah, I would put Victoria up there. Mickey James was pretty good.
Yeah. And Trish.
And Ivory.
And Ebony.
And, Jackie. No. Yeah. Jazz. Right. So, I mean, these are the best female workers. We're not talking about, I mean, Paige has potential, Charlotte has potential. Well, Natty,
yeah,
right,
Natty.
For female worker. Actually, Natty's probably right behind Gail Kim as the second best female worker.
Gail Kim.
I mean, I'm tired. So, anyways, the point being that Trish Stratus isn't the top. Gail Kim is probably an 8.5.
So you're a racist when you're tired?
I would say Trish Stratus. You're racist all the time.
Always tired.
7 out of 10, I give Trish as a ring worker. But if you're looking right, 7.5, I'm going by chick standards.
All right, by chick standards. Okay, so then let's end on Brian Pillman.
No, we have one more before we get to Brian Pillman.
Sure we do.
Andre the Giant.
You're aware that he is from Grenoble in the French Alps.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
I would say for look, again...
he's a 10.
Yeah, like there's your 10 again.
There's a 10 for a look, yeah.
There's a 10 for look.
If you can give an 11... If I was to give one guy on the whole list an extra and say this guy gets to be an 11 because he's so far ahead of everybody else, it would be Andre.
Yeah.
In fact, if I could give him... Like if I was to actually go out of 10, but I can give one guy any score... I'd give him like a 14 out of 10.
Yeah.
For a look. Like, that's how phenomenal his look was for that era above everybody else.
I would give him a 14.8.
Okay.
2 points for every inch. Because he was 7'4".
No, he wasn't.
500 pounds.
Like 800 pounds.
520 pounds.
Like 800.
Largest professional athlete in the world today.
Okay, he was like 6'9".
Andre!
It's like 6'9", 390 pounds.
Yeah.
But in the day, it was the best look.
Now, for promo, I have a question.
Yeah.
A caveat, if you will.
Yes.
Am I allowed to use his work on The Princess Bride?
Yes, you are.
Then he is an 8 for promo.
Now, if you take that away...
He is a 3 for promo.
What's your favorite quote of his in Princess Bride?
You moved your head. Doesn't that make you feel happy?
I like it when they're doing the thing where they're doing, what is it, like the
rhyming game
on the boat. That was awesome.
Only if you give me a peanut.
That was awesome. Squeeze and squeeze. So Andre the Giant and his work.
The world resting fetish.
His work.
His work. The work. Four.
I'd probably go six.
Six.
Like, we mainly saw him at the end when he was beat up and pretty hurt. Yeah. When he was a little bit younger, yeah, he didn't know how to do anything other than be the big man.
Well,
but
that's
he
fine.
Totally knew how to be the big man. He totally got the psychology of his character and how to do it in a way that a lot of guys who are big guys nowadays, like your Matt Morgans and your...
Who?
Your
nowadays? Matt Morgan?
Well,
you know, that current star, Matt Morgan.
I'm trying to think of who else is big now.
Luke Harper?
Luke Harper. But even Luke Harper, he's a great worker. He's the best big man in the business. But he doesn't work the big man style the way nearly as smartly as an Andre did.
No.
And he's doing, you know, the planchas and the super kicks and all that shit. Hey, it's great. We're not used to seeing it from a guy his size. He's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's not the psychology that Andre had. So I don't think he was as bad. Okay, I'll go 5.5. I gave Hogan a 5.5 in the ring. I'll give Andre a 5.5 in the ring.
The reason that I did is, again, I averaged it for his whole career, which is where the 4 came into me.
Well, and because at the end there, he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do anything.
So Brian Pillman.
Oh, what would you give Brian Pillman?
For a look, I would give Brian Pillman a 9.
What?
I would give Brian Pillman, a 9.5.
What?
Sorry, I would give Brian Pillman a 9.75.
Okay. I would give him a 6.
No, I mean, overall, for a look, again, if we're looking at his whole career, I would give him a 7. Because I did think he when he was the loose cannon...
I would give him a 7 as the loose cannon.
I'd give him a six for his whole career.
I
would give him, with the eyes and even the shirts he would wear, and just the glasses that he had, with the scope on them.
Sure.
As loose cannon. That to me is an 8 for a look. So overall, I would give him a 7.
I wouldn't give him an 8 for that. I don't look at that and think, oh, it's that much. But if I give Shawn Michaels a 7.5 and Chris Jericho a 7.5, and I think CM Punk is like a 7.
I think part of his look was his charisma as well.
But all these guys had charisma too.
Yeah, but his look came through.
I mean, Eddie Guerrero, would you give him his look 6, 6.5? No, I don't think the loose cannon is that
plain.
High.
Eddie was a lot more plain than Brian F. and Pillman. Anyway, so what do you give Brian? You said a 6.
Yeah, on the mic, I give him a 7.
Yeah, that's probably a good 7, 7.5.
His work, I would give an 8.5.
I, again, would go 7.5 if, again, taking whole career into
account.
Taking
his whole career, again, he couldn't do as much at the end.
Exactly, fused ankle, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's his best WWF match was against Owen Hart in the Intercontinental Title Tournament. September 21st, 1997. From Madison Square Garden.
It was great. It was a comedy match.
It was. It was his best match that he had in WWF.
It might have been, actually, unfortunately. Yeah. Did he ever really have... He never on pay-per-view
never
or anything?
He never had a match.
He never really had that match with
Dust
Austin.
Match. Never, no. He had a Goldust pay-per-view matches, right?
He had his best match, if you want to say it, but it's not his match, just... But was the Hart Foundation, the 10-man tag of the Canadian Stampede.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because that's like a 4.5, 4.75 star match. Like, you know, 4.5.
Out of 5.
Yeah.
Not out of 10, as we've just been doing.
No. Be 9.26 out of 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we round up.
Maybe a 15. I think it took a 15.
Yeah, I think so.
Just to get warmed up. Yeah.
That was, I was watching one of the old
Mikey Whipwreck. I'm wondering, Mikey.
Fuck.
If you could just tell us your opinion... What would you give yourself out of 10?
No, fuck. As a fucking promo, I'd have to fucking say fucking 10. That's fucking awesome at fucking promos. Fucking worker, I was in fucking EC fucking W, so fuck. As a fucking worker, I'd be a fucking 10. Fucking when if you're grading out a fucking curve and I got fucking Sandman and fucking Axel fucking Rotten and
Tommy
fucking
Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer and fucking Mikey fucking Whipwreck, fuck.
Yeah.
And yeah, fucking okay. 10.
Yeah,
and,
I think that's
and
true.
Fucking look. I mean, fucking look at me.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking 10.
Well, when you had the red hair and you're doing the whole pyro,
no, fucking right
pyromaniac.
Now. Right
well,
now, fucking no
right
fucking
now?
Hair and I'm fucking
you're
kind of
short and bald and fat.
I'm a fucking 10. I'm a fucking 10. Fuck. All right.
And what do you think of Brian Pillman?
Brian fucking Pillman?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Memories of Brian Pillman?
Fuck.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we're going to do Memories of
that
Brian Pillman.
That leads us into, because just this past Sunday, I guess it would have been, was the 17-year passing of Brian Pillman. In Your House, Bad Blood, ironically. First ever Hell in the Cell, 17 years ago. The debut of Kane. 17 years ago on pay-per-view, and the night before, or that morning, I guess, Brian Pillman found dead in his hotel room in St. Louis, that they had the house
show. Now, did they not tell the workers? Because they went out and had a show that night.
They told the workers. They opened the show with him.
I thought that was on Raw they did the...
No, well, that was next night. They had Melanie on the next night, but before the show, they Vince McMahon was on there and said that Brian Pillman had died. And yeah, oh yeah, they told everybody and doing the show. Everybody knew.
And then
I don't even remember who.
I don't know how the guys went out and had that good a show then. I don't know.
Well, was it a good show?
Well, it had the great main event, obviously.
Yeah, and you had two consummate, you had one consummate professional in The Undertaker, and a self-centered, drugged-up Shawn Michaels,
yeah,
who didn't give a fuck about anybody but himself.
And was that also, the Patriot versus Bret Hart, wasn't
no,
it?
No, that was Ground Zero, September 6th.
Oh, that's
6th,
right, so it's the month before.
The month before. This was the flag match with Vader and Patriot against Bulldog and Bret.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Farouk and Owen in the finals of the Intercontinental title tournament, of which we just talked about.
So, yeah, I don't know. There's all these guys who are in the Hart Foundation with them. Like I say, I don't know how the guys went out there. Steve Austin was not on the card.
No, he was still injured. He was still doing this. He's not working. Steve Austin bashed Farouk over the head with the Intercontinental title to allow Owen to win because of the storyline that he wanted to face Owen at the Survivor Series.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. But, if you're Jim Neidhart, how do you work at that pay-per-view? No, wait, you don't.
Yeah, so anyways, the point being, that's...
Brian F. and Pillman.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the only time they've had to put on a show on the day where a guy dies.
No.
You know, they've done it. This has happened. It's weird, actually. This happened before pay-per-views a couple times. Yeah. So, anyways, I mean, Brian Pillman.
Brian Pillman died the night before. They found him in the morning, I think. Whereas Owen, of course, died in the middle. I have to tell you.
Well, I mean, wasn't Eddie the night of or day of a pay-per-view? Wasn't he scheduled to win?
No, it was just Raw.
It was just Raw?
It was just Raw.
Or, no, it was the day of a pay-per-view. He died. I forgot. But it was the day of a TNA pay-per-view.
Oh, right. Yeah,
It was. Because they did a special for him, and I think that was what Christian did, debuted the or used the Frog Splash that night.
Oh, okay.
The first time in respect for him in TNA.
But seriously, you know what you just said for the first time ever, anywhere?
What?
You said respect in TNA.
Yeah, and the last time, too.
But,
fuck those guys.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, to look at Brian Pillman, I should mention, too, just before we get into Brian Pillman, my sister called me this morning as I'm driving to work. And she called and comes on the Bluetooth, I pick up my phone, and my sister goes, "Why is it a sad day in wrestling in Calgary?" And I said, "I don't know. Why?" She goes, "I don't know, I turned on the radio, and the first thing I hear is, it's a sad day for wrestling and for Calgary." And so my first thought was that Bret Hart was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I'm driving, talking to my sister on the phone. Now I'm on Twitter. All at the same time. Anyway, it couldn't see
anything. You're that asshole almost hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out. And then, so I thought, well, maybe they're tearing the Hart House down, too. Like, maybe that's what they were commenting to. I mean, because that's, you know, that wouldn't surprise me.
If Bret Hart died, you wouldn't be able to avoid it. It would be really, like...
Yeah, but, no, literally, this is, like, 7:45 a.m.
Yeah.
I get up at 7:00, I shower, I feed the dog, and I get in my car, and I listen to my podcast as I go to work.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I don't have any contact. Like, I would not have known. It doesn't, but the, anyway, so she said that, and then hang up the phone, and then she calls back, like, 2 minutes, a minute later.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I figured it out. They're doing this thing about what year was this, and they start going, Hit Me Baby One More Time comes out, and Owen Hart dies. And you're supposed to guess that it's 1999,
yeah.
Which apparently my sister said people were very bad at. But that was the comment that it was a sad day in Calgary. Anyway, so just, we just mentioned that the Hart Foundation, people that are dead. And
way to kill the momentum of the show.
Brian Pillman.
Memories of Brian Pillman. This is something we've actually never done. Is give the memories and everything to Brian Pillman. He's, say, 17 years.
Yeah.
Which is just remarkable that it's been that long.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Why don't you open up? Memories of Brian Pillman.
My first memory of Brian Pillman is moving to Calgary, mm-hmm. and it's Bad Company.
Mm-hmm. That was your moving company?
And, yeah. But Bruce Hart.
How was the job they did?
Huh? Not too bad. I'd hire him again. I think King Kong Bundy.
Richard Pryor.
But I Bruce Hart and Brian Pillman as a tag team. And I just remember watching this and seeing, you know, watching Stampede Wrestling for the first time.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever seen Stampede Wrestling on global television on Saturday afternoon after Superstars. And actually, I think it was before Superstars. And he was the only guy that had come on the television that I thought, he has a chance to be a star.
Hmm.
Like, up to that point, I think Owen and Muckin were in the main event or involved in the main event, and then it, okay. But up until then, that was the first guy in this. I'd never known anything but WWF kind of thing, heard of Stan, you know what I mean? Heard of some of the independents, yes. Never really seen. We didn't have anything locally in Ontario that was on television. And so this was first on TV, and so I'm watching, you know, these guys that are, they're indie guys, you know, they're your jobbers on WWF kind of thing.
Yeah, and Brian, and they literally, some of them were.
Brian Pillman comes on with his match, and then the promo afterwards. And after the promo, I thought, okay, yeah, that guy could do it. That guy could be in WWF.
Okay, I'll give you my earliest memories of the first time we saw, at least I can recall. I mean, I never missed Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah.
First time I see, I mean, Brian Pillman, I was a big Stampeders fan, always have been.
Right.
And the Stampeders are the local Canadian Football League team.
Yes.
And, of course, Brian Pillman was a member of the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
was a nose tackle in college, despite being so small, and was, I think, All-State. Or
second team All-American.
Second team, yeah. Vermont.
The number one nose tackle All-American that year was Refrigerator Perry.
Okay, so then he goes into the Bengals. I believe he plays as a defensive back. I know anyways, he makes the team, plays on special teams or something. Wow. Ends up over here in Canada where he is definitely, he's a defensive back and suffers an injury, and I don't think he ever actually gets on the field. So the first time we have him come out is he's still hurt, and but they're saying, oh, this guy's from the Stampeders, he's this great athlete, and he cuts a promo, and the Hart members are out there. I think it's Keith and Bruce, and Keith and Bruce's son. Are talking about, you know, this great athlete, we're training him, and be on the lookout for him. He's still hurt. So yeah. He had, like, a major injury, like an ACL tear or something, yeah. Like that. And that's why he had to stop playing football and went into wrestling. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, it was months before we saw him. I finally saw him. He made a tremendous debut, but I didn't think anything of him at the first time. Even his promos, he had that weird voice, of course, because he had the injury with his throat, and it kind of made him stand up. But my thing was, I was, like, looking at him, I'm like, oh, this is just another guy, like there's just a lot at this point in Stampede Wrestling of these smaller guys.
Right.
There's, you know, Owen, there's
Dynamite.
Not Dynamite at that point, but there's Owen, there's Ben Bassarab, there's Chris Benoit, there's Owen, did I mention Owen?
Yeah, you mentioned Owen.
There's, what's his name, Johnny Smith?
Yeah.
Tom Billington. And
Tom Billington.
Or not Tom Billington. Tom Wellington. Or Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington.
There's Owen Hart.
Beef Wellington, whatever you want to call him. There's Owen Hart.
I don't think so.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
So anyways,
Rowan Hart.
Well, that's what Scooby-Doo called him.
Rookie. Rookie Rowan.
But anyways, Agama Singh, like, it's just a lot of them. And Agama Singh's the only one who looked a little different. And anyways, even I think, even Rip Rogers might have been around at this time.
Yeah,
So, I mean,
Goldie Rogers.
Goldie Rogers, sorry, yeah, Goldie Rogers. Barry O. What's his name? Not Les Thatcher.
Les Thornton?
Les Thornton? Yeah, Les Thornton wasn't either. Yeah. So you had a lot of guys, even Ron Ritchie. Like, a lot of guys just... That's,
he looks like a raccoon.
There's so many guys at this time about his size, and a lot of them had good bodies and were good athletes. I didn't realize he was a next-level athlete. Like,
right,
I didn't realize...
Right,
he, cause he, just because he's from the Stampeders and played football, I didn't realize that he was even a level above, you know, these other guys. Because these guys were all on steroids, and they're all in good shape and everything like that. It was wrestling in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't think anything of this guy at all. And they had this character managed by the Zodiac, speaking of Barry O. And this character was called Jason the Terrible. And if you're not familiar with him... I don't know how they got away with this. This was literally a guy in a
Friday the 13th
Jason suit and a hockey mask, in which he wore when he wrestled.
Well, they had him in Memphis, too. They had a character like him in Memphis.
Did they?
As well, yeah.
Yeah, was he before or after this one? I think this was after.
Maybe they were... Memphis might have been after.
Yeah, Memphis, I'm pretty sure, was after. Anyways, Jason the Terrible was... Because I remember one of the knocks against Owen Hart when he won the... The people in PWI were complaining, like, people wrote in saying, how could he win Rookie of the Year when he's beating guys named things like Jason the Terrible?
Yeah.
And but Jason the Terrible, he had this gimmick, like, he was Jason from the movies. He had an axe handle.
A machete.
He had an axe handle. He was managed by the Zodiac guy. And to really get it across, because he was Jason to everybody, as a character, he was the zombie that Undertaker was when he debuted.
Yes.
Is the best way to describe it.
And he, no soul.
No soul. He did the sit-ups. He was...
Hunter.
I mean, the Undertaker's character in a lot of ways was really... was Michael Myers from Halloween.
Right.
Well, this was like that. But the same basic idea. Unbeatable. So the first time I took notice, like he was going through everybody, like Jason the Terrible, all these smaller guys. Because the guy who played him was probably like 6'2", 6'3", which, you know, was big in Stampede
big
wrestling.
Big for all these guys you just mentioned that were, you know, 5'8".
Vanilla midgets.
Yeah.
Right? So anyways, he gets in the ring with Brian Pillman, and Brian Pillman, and like I never understood how he was allowed to wrestle with the hockey mask on, because he used it as a weapon and everything, but whatever, it's wrestling. It was Bruce Hart booking at the time.
Yeah. You're just lucky he didn't kick him in the nuts as his finisher.
He did. Maybe not as his finisher. I think he no-sold it. I think he got kicked in the nuts.
Right.
Anyways, but Brian Pillman picks him up at the end of this match. He's the first guy to have a match. He gets him on the mat. He gives flying headbutts to him like from every corner.
Which
he
is
goes to pin him.
Since he's wearing a hockey mask.
No, but into his shoulder.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, I'm like, this was when I noticed, it's like, fuck, this guy's awesome. Like, he was dubbed by the fans. The fans were screaming at him, Flying Brian Pillman. That's how he got his nickname.
Flying Brian!
His very first match, because he was athletic. But he was just in a tag match his first time. This is where, to me, he really stood out. I thought, fuck, this guy is great. He was about to pin him, and there were then the ref, or then, like, the manager or whatever, like that, got in the ring and screwed up the pin. And this was early on when Jason the Terrible, and they had big plans left for him.
Yeah.
So the fact they were letting anybody get this much offense on him was huge.
Yeah.
And so this would be like Bret Hart at the time getting the when Undertaker first came in, almost getting the pin on him. Like, that's the equivalent, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Bret Hart at the time was just a tag guy, you know? So
right.
So, I mean, yeah, this is where I thought, this guy's awesome. So next thing I know, I hear he signed with WCW, which I thought was a huge surprise.
Because I remember towards the end, like, 89, just as Stampede is shutting down... For the final time, I guess, on television.
Well, unless you count
that Mauro Ranallo thing come back when it was...
The Mauro Ranallo thing, and then the... Well, there's been like three comebacks or four comebacks.
Well, no, but on television, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, the one was on television. There was one on the A channel, remember?
Yeah, that's the one. Mauro Ranallo and Bad News were the ones that were...
Okay. Well, there was the other ones. There was a few, but I don't know.
Well, then there was one. It wasn't Stampede. It was called something else. Came from the Silver Dollar Action Center.
That's
right.
That's where Jericho and Lance Storm were first.
No, that was different.
That was the one on Channel 10?
That was from the pavilion. That was from Channel 10. That was Rocky Mountain Wrestling.
That was it, yeah.
With Eric Iceman Freeze.
Yeah.
And then, but they did have something called, like, CWF.
That's the first time I saw Chris Jericho.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, fuck, this guy's a star. Also, first time I saw Lance Storm. And I thought, this guy's not... I thought he's a great athlete. He's not a star. But I thought Jericho, I saw him turn somebody did a bigger guy. I can't remember who he was wrestling. But
Jericho's still alive. We're talking about Brian Pillman.
Does a powerbomb. He turns into a Frankenstein. I've never seen that before. I'm like, this guy's a fucking star. And then they went and had a ladder match.
Yes, ladder match, great. I remember.
Yeah, okay. Anyways.
And Pillman. Then I see 89, and he's feuding with Lethal Larry Cameron. And he's really allowed to kind of cut promos.
Well, the thing is, he really started to, while he was doing this, and he had that thing with Brian Pillman, where he really started to get noticed by the magazines and stuff like that.
Yes.
Back when the After magazines still meant something,
right.
was when he was with Team, as Bad Company, with Bruce
yes.
Hart.
Yep.
Now, Bruce Hart was the booker.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Hart had a terrible look and was a pretty average wrestler and an average athlete.
Yeah.
But he was a Hart member. He was
what
a pirate.
What would you give him out of 10?
As a look, 3. As a promo, 4.5. And as a wrestler, 6.
Yeah.
He's the booker. He books himself as a star. He books himself to win.
As a booker, 4.
He had some brilliant...
No, it's
weird. As a booker, he fucked up some really... He was Russo before there was Russo. What he was.
He had great, and then it all went to shit.
Yes, like he had great ideas.
He had a great
inventive
rap for the first 2 years, and it all went to shit.
Yeah, inventive stuff we'd never seen before. But then he kept on going back to the same stuff and didn't freshen things up. And he just.
Well, you can call that Russo. You can call that Dusty.
Yeah, no, he was, but he was like that. One of those guys where it's like if you had somebody really filter him and rein him in, he was creative as hell.
Yeah,
but. But anyway, so he books himself with Pillman because he knows Pillman's an upcoming star.
Yeah.
And he knows that he books himself with Pillman.
He can glom on Pillman.
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
He gloms on Pillman because he knows Pillman's going places.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to make it so if they're a team, if Stampede Wrestling shuts down, he'll go with them.
They're going
to
take the team, yeah.
Because that team started getting moving up the rankings in the PWI Top 10 Tag Team.
Yes.
Again, back when that meant something. So... Of course, it didn't work because Pillman goes to WCW, and I wanted him in WWF because I was a fan of WWF.
Yeah,
I got WWF programming. I knew about WCW, but at the time, NWA.
You didn't really get WCW at all.
I would just have to wait for videotapes to come out and hope that the local video store would bring them in.
Yeah,
that was the only way I could watch them.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, this is before even SAS.
I know.
So you know, Video Spot, I think.
Yeah, the one in the. With the Ready Mart in the same
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the... So it's kind of one of those things.
Painting.
It was a very... I was happy for him going to WCW. I was a little surprised that they would take him because he was small. But I was happy for him. I was hoping that he would do well. But I figured he would be buried and not do anything and be out of there soon.
Yeah.
And Owen Hart is a good example. Somebody went to WCW and that's exactly what happened.
Had a cup of coffee, exactly.
Yeah, a cup of coffee. And that's what I expected with Pillman.
And then I
get this PWI magazine... Where it's saying these are the guys who will win the titles. And it's like listing, like, at the time it's listing Hulk Hogan with, he'll lose the title to, I think it was whoever he was feuding with at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, every single one of these guys would lose the title to the guy they were feuding to that month. Almost like wrestling was fake.
Almost.
Almost like. So it was like Hulk Hogan will lose the title
to
Earthquake
or
Boss Man
or
whatever, yeah. And, but, so Luger will lose the title, I read, to Brian Pillman. I'm like, holy fuck. The U.S. title, Brian Pillman's wrestling Luger, who was a big star at the time, and they're saying he's going to win it.
Yeah.
He must be doing awesome. And I was so happy for him. I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But I was so happy for him.
Yeah. And then I kind of fast forward to getting tapes of Super Brawl 2.
Yeah.
And Pillman and Liger. And then,
which
and,
just
and,
blew
know,
our minds.
And it was just great shit.
And even though I knew from Stampede he was good, now I had a new... I still was always like, he's good, but he's not as good as Benoit or Owen. When I saw this, I was like, he's as good as those guys.
And
he's at their level.
And again,
is he as good? No, but he's right at that same sort of level.
And that's part of what is missing from now that there's no territories, is that, again, when you talk about Benoit, you talk about Pillman, it really is local boy makes good. It's like your local high school has a football or basketball player that makes it to, you know, the NFL and does well.
I think one of the appeals for Daniel Bryan was people who watched him in ROH felt like that was their guy making good, and so they're behind him. And it's the same thing in WrestleMania 20 when it's Eddie and Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
It was very personal to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been watching Benoit since he was 17.
Yeah.
And the same thing, when Owen and Brett and these guys are making it, it's like, I watched these guys before anybody knew them.
Yeah.
And so it was a very, you're able to, and it's the same thing, it's been always been the same thing. Pillman was one of those guys, and there's people who watched, you know, in territories who watched Ultimate Warrior, who may have been a big fan, he made big in WWF, would have been like, oh, I watched him before anybody knew him. And so you're right.
People can say that about John Cena in California now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but not really the same, because like you say, because the territories are dead, that is definitely something that's missing.
Yeah.
The personal feeling, like your connection, you're part of their journey and part of their success, is not there as much.
And then, I mean, you go, Super Bowl II, then it's a matter of the Hollywood Blondes. That's when we first started to get TBS here in Calgary, was just a few, as the Hollywood Blondes are forming, we're getting to watch TBS, and we're getting to watch WCW Saturday night. So we're really starting to see them. And they're a great team. But it's the first time, too, that we can see WCW and WWF. And WWF wasn't sort of blowing the roof off the place as they were in 93, right?
Yeah.
So it was great to have an alternative. And they were a great team. And I remember
We didn't even know that it sucked because it was new and fresh to us.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about all the time. You hear, like, the documentaries or whatever, like this shitty Steve Austin one. But they'll talk about how, you know, Bischoff came in or I'm reading The Death of WCW again here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about how Bischoff came in at that time and they, you know, because Bill Watts was there and Bill Watts brings in Ron Simmons and that doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, they're saying, like, the company sucked. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know it sucked because to me it was just something new.
Exactly. And I mean, and there's new guys, there's different guys, but I mean, the Hollywood Blondes and a flair for the old, and just, you know, all of that is great. And so then, of course, they split them up, and that sucks. And then, he becomes a horseman. I remember seeing the Horseman Pros. I'm watching that just on the network now.
Yeah,
Brian Pillman is a horseman, and you know, I respect you, Booker man. And then he you know, that's probably the best Brian Pillman story of all time, is that he basically worked Eric Bischoff into giving him a release.
Eric Bischoff thought he was working with him
to
work the boys, and instead he was just working because he wanted out of WCW.
Yeah, because he wanted to,
And it's one of the things you have to remember again is he was in WCW when he got there. He's there early on in like 91, 92, in that range.
Huge money contract.
Yeah, he was making more money than Bret Hart, who had been at WWF at this point for 7 years, and was, you know, a two-time tag team champion.
And it was Pillman.
And who helped facilitate Bret's first talks with
Bret's
WCW.
Bret's 109-degree fever, which allowed him to lose to the Mountie.
Yeah.
Right? That was the storyline, but that was it was Pillman that was the conduit to try to get Bret just to talk to him. But at the time, it was, ironically, it was because of guys like Pillman's contract that Bret couldn't get that because they were in cutback mode.
Yeah.
And I never forget the story of Bill Watts telling Brian Pillman, you know, I can, I think it was Jim Hurd actually told.
It was Watts.
Was it Watts? Told Brian Pillman, I can cut you and re-sign you for half the money.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the U.S. title, and we'll strap a rocket, we'll give you a great push. Or you can keep the contract you have, and I'm going to job you out every week.
Because even though he was a football player and a legitimately really tough guy, the to Bill Watts didn't like him, especially didn't like how much money he was making.
It was the money. That's basically what it was. It was the money.
He didn't like that much money. At that particular point,
guys weren't wrestlers. They were dollar figures to them. Because they had to. That was what, one of the things Watts was in there to do.
Yeah, so that was to bring that. So Watts says that to him, and Pillman replies,
"I'll be the highest paid jobber you've ever seen."
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah. And you know, and but that was the attitude. It was like, well, fuck you, right? It was a business too, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, then you had Pillman in WWF, which unfortunately was disappointing. I mean,
Pillman's whole thing about him, his, you know, like you say, his working the boys, developing the loose canon character.
Yeah.
You know, his the Hollywood Blondes with Austin.
A lot of Dean Ambrose is I see in Brian Pillman.
Absolutely,
Brian Pillman I see in Dean
he developed Ambrose. His character over the years. Then there's the stories, the off-screen stories about him. You know him and Sid, which is a great story about Sid talking about how he's going to be a WWE World Champion and how much money he makes and how glad he is because at the time WCW and WWF were in the same town. A lot of the guys got together, same bar. And Sid was talking about how much better WWF is, how much money he's making, how he's going to be the world champion, how glad he is to be out of WCW. Finally, Pillman has enough and tells him to shut up. Now, Pillman's like a good, literally like a good 8 inches shorter than him and a good 60 pounds lighter. And, you know, and Sid, he gets right in his face and everybody knows, if you know Pillman, you'll know that this guy's a nose tackle, 210 pounds or 220 pounds or whatever, was a second team All-American. He's tough and he's one of the legitimately tough guys, and he's no bullshit. And Sid, despite being so much bigger, didn't want to fight him, and leaves, and then comes back swinging a squeegee, trying to use a weapon to fight this guy so much smaller than him. And I don't think he's ever lived this down. But that, to me, is one of the great Brian Pillman stories.
Oh, that's absolutely one of the great Brian Pillman stories. That's the Sid squeegee is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, but like you say, he ends up in WWF. I remember just before he ends up in WWF, when he got a member of the Four Horsemen, again, I was happy for him.
The Horse Horsemen?
Horse Horsemen. Because I was, again, I'm tired.
Really?
So I was, again, really happy for him. Like, okay, now he's going to get the push again.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you on the air right now open up your letters because...
might have to do with...
That's good. That sounds good on the camera. That sounds good on... Does that have to do with the...
It has to do with WrestleMania, I thought. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
No, but I thought it did.
Instead, it's just noise. It's just the sound of papers rustling on radio. And it's a radio show.
I don't know what this
podcast.
Is.
Podcast. Oh, I used your credit card to get some things.
Somebody did.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Somebody got insurance.
I don't know what this is.
You'll figure it out after the show.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I remember being backstage. I mean, I was so happy. I was like, he's going to get a new push. It's cool that he's part of the Horsemen.
Yes.
And I remember being backstage at the 80th anniversary for Stu Hart.
Yes.
And 80th birthday.
80th anniversary of his life.
Of his life at the Corral. And I'm tired.
Huh.
So anyways.
It's rife.
It was rife. Fucking marble mouth tonight. What the fuck? Mike Whipwreck, what do you think of my marble mouth?
Fucking marble fucking mouth. Fuck.
Alright, so... so anyways, I remember being backstage, and there's Bret Hart there talking to him a little bit. There's Chris Benoit signing things, seeing how jacked he was in person, and going, this guy's roided right up.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even as big as he would become. But somebody goes, Brian Pillman, can I get an autograph? And Brian Pillman's walking by. He's just all intense, right? He's dressed in his horseman gear, that little vest.
Yeah.
He turns around, he looks at the guy, holds up four fingers, goes, pestilence, war, famine, death, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Runs out into the arena to go have his match.
Yeah.
It was the coolest fucking thing. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
And he's living the gimmick. And that's a definite memory.
Yeah. That is, and this, and it's unfortunate that he's that he's gone. Definitely not forgotten.
One of those guys who you can't forget. Of course, the incident with Austin in the house.
The gun incident.
The gun incident. This is probably his most memorable thing in
WWF. Yeah, and again, it never led to. It never led to a match.
He's finally starting to have some matches, like you say, with Goldust, and even then that was confusing.
Well, that was almost a year later.
Yeah.
Because they pilmanized him.
Well, because he came in to WWF, said he was healthy, and then when he got there, they found out he couldn't actually wrestle.
Yes.
So they tried him as an announcer, they tried him as all this different stuff, but he was a great character at that point.
Yes.
And so he's great on screen, and if he had been able to be healthy, he would have been he would have been at the level of a Mick Foley, I think. Like, he could have gotten to that second tier, third tier, like Mick Foley, Triple H, you know, maybe not quite, maybe he'd get to a Rikishi level, but Rikishi got really high up there at one point.
Yeah.
I did it for The Rock.
For The Rock.
So, you know, Val Venus, like, he would have been definitely a big, big star.
Yes.
And
what would the Attitude
I think
era?
He could have. I think he could have gotten up there into the Triple H level, though.
And what would the Attitude Era have been with a healthy Brian Pillman? I mean, that Humvee accident doesn't happen.
He fits
And he's main eventing.
He fits so well.
He's main eventing pay-per-views against Austin.
Absolutely he is.
You know?
And when a Chris Jericho comes in, he's even better. You know? Because he's got guys his size. And those guys start coming in. Eddie Guerrero and everything. So
the Radicals.
Yeah. He was interesting. And extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, one of the tragedies of the business.
Really is a tragedy of the business.
But I mean, I have so many great memories of him. Where so many of these, and again, it was a local guy, but so many of these guys, when they passed away, it really ripped at me to the point where it's like, I still can't think about them. I have trouble even thinking or watching Owen matches because I just miss them too much. Somehow with Brian, I'm able to look at him and go, I just want to enjoy him. And I'm actually able to...
And part of Brian Pillman's life is that he wasn't, you know, he was blessed to have his life, you know, with surgeries and things when he was really, really young.
Yes, that's true.
And again, you know,
Shouldn't even have made it.
Which is, I mean...
Yeah, shouldn't even have been alive.
Give up attitude, right? So
yeah.
That's...
He was a success story to overcome everything in his life and get to where he was.
Absolutely.
That was the thing. And like you say, in some ways he was living on borrowed time right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And yet achieved so much. So, yeah. You know.
Well, that's...
Memories of Brian Pillman.
Brian Pillman. So, I mean, I think that's going to...
Hey, if you have any memories of him, please send them in to Addy, A-D-D, at WeTalkWrestling.com, or tweet us.
Tweet us at WeTalkWrestling. Go to WeTalkWrestling.com.
In the comment section... Facebook, you can leave a comment on Facebook about Brian Pillman if you'd like.
Yes.
We have our We Talk Wrestling Facebook as well.
Which is facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
That sure as fuck is.
It is. So that's going to do it for another week. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
We're on Stitcher and we're on TuneIn and all that shit.
Good night, folks.
iTunes. We're on iTunes. We're, you know, we tell people, vote us on iTunes, and then we say we're OUT.
Good night, folks. Okay.
We off air?
Yes.
I tell you, I'm tired.
Huh. Maybe it's because you're so fat.